We just celebrated the nation's birthday, and it went pretty well around here, excepting a couple of fireworks-connected blazes that damaged 14 boats on Lake Union and a house near Lake Washington. It was much happier at Seattle Center's Fisher Pavilion, where 487 people from 86 different countries were sworn in as U.S. citizens. If you ever have a chance, go down and see the joy and emotion at this annual event. It's an eye-opener to see how powerful something we who are born here take for granted is to people who've had to leave their native land and struggle to become U.S. citizens. But what does it mean to be a U.S. citizen? It comes with entitlements and rights and protections, but is citizenship just something we have, or does it come with implicit duties? What does it mean to be a good citizen? Pay your taxes? Vote? Serve in the military, perform public service, get involved in politics, all of those, more than those, none of those. I'm at 206-543-5869. How do you define being a good citizen? Is it a passive attribute or is it an active obligation? 800-289-5869. You can write conversation at kuow.org. Eric Liu thinks and writes about this a lot. He founded Citizen University, which brings together leaders and activists and practitioners in an annual two-day event to learn about citizenship. He's the co-author of The True Patriot and The Gardens of Democracy. Eric Liu is a foreign policy speechwriter and domestic advisor for President Clinton. Eric Liu, thanks for being with us.
Ross, it's great to be with you.
So is citizenship a passive attribute or is it an active duty?
Well, I think it's certainly far more an active set of obligations. The way you set up the conversation, Ross, I thought was just great. For anybody who happened upon or was part of the naturalization ceremony yesterday at Seattle Center, or if you've ever been to one of these in general, it's one of the most moving, powerful things you can possibly experience. To see people who have chosen, who have made great sacrifices to actually come here and claim citizenship of the United States. And one of the ways that my friends and family and I spent the 4th yesterday was we went around different parts of Seattle yesterday doing a project we called Sworn Again America. And the idea of Sworn Again America is you take the concept and conceit of a naturalization ceremony where people have to take a test and do a ceremony and swear an oath, and we created something like that for everybody, for all of us, whether we are Americans of long standing or brand new Americans, whatever our actual documentation status may be, to have this public occasion to reflect for a moment just on the question you posed, on what does it actually mean for us to show up for each other as a citizen. So we went to these barbecues and picnics and just kind of had a little podium, a portable podium, and people were game. People who had never been thinking about this question saw us set up our little backdrop, our sworn again backdrop, and they just came up and said they'd love to participate. And we ended up having great conversations about the ways in which citizenship in the United States isn't just this bundle of rights and, to use the language of the Constitution, privileges and immunities. It's a set of obligations as well, responsibilities. And I think the more that we can have a conversation in the United States about what those responsibilities are, the stronger we're going to be as a country.
Since the mandatory draft went away, there is no compulsory public service for U.S. citizens. Should there be? I mean, should everyone who is a citizen have to do some public service time in the military or elsewhere?
Well, I think I just came from a summit last week called the Franklin Project Summit, and it was a gathering of people from all around the country to help promote the idea of national service. And this was catalyzed by a guy who you've heard of named Stanley McChrystal. He was a former general and one of our leaders in the war in Afghanistan. And since his retirement, he's come out there very forcefully saying, look, we have to put an end, in his words, to this era of easy citizenship, in which only a few carry the great burdens for the rest of the country. And one of the things he's been promoting is this idea that, it's not mandatory, but really trying to create a stronger norm and ethic where young people just feel like, okay, the thing we're going to do as young people is spend a year in service, either to community or to country, and it can be civilian or military. And I'm all for that. I think, in a country like ours that doesn't have bloodlines or tribal lines or even geographic territory to be the thing that binds us together in a very homogeneous way, what we have to do is actually continuously exercise the practice of working together across our different our lines of difference. And national service, to me, is one of the most powerful and effective ways to do that.
This is a big topic, Eric Liu. We'll have to have you back just to talk about this. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, it's been great to be with you, Ross.
Eric Liu founded Citizen University. Alejandra Perez is not a citizen. She's in the U.S. legally on a work permit. Alejandra, would you like to be a citizen of the U.S.?
I believe that I'm already a citizen of the U.S., even if I don't have the legal status that allows me to.
Why do you think that?
Well, I think citizenship is not defined by a paper, nor a status, nor nationality. I believe that citizenship is defined by the contribution that added to them, the values that the U.S. has given us and that we have given it. So it's more than just paper and where you were born. It's about what you're doing for your community, whether it's through working or through volunteering, getting an education in the U.S. I believe that's how citizenship is to me.
Well, give me some examples of what you do that you feel make you a citizen, even though you don't have the piece of paper.
Well, one, I am a student at the University of Washington, so that already is, becoming a citizen because I am getting an education to contribute back to my community one day. I want to be an educator, so through education, that's a way that I believe I contribute to this country, as well as through the volunteer work that I've done. I've been in soup kitchens. I've been working with youth violence programs, awareness programs, women awareness, all this kind of stuff, as well as, I think the main thing that I do is focus with youth, but also I fight for social justice with all the undocumented people who are here in the United States, who are citizens but don't have that piece of paper.
Alejandra Perez, thanks very much for talking to us. Let's go to Bob West. He's the leader of the group Grassroots of Yakima. They work to increase awareness about illegal immigration. Bob West, what does citizenship mean to you?
Well, I'm thinking that being a citizen of the United States is a blessing and a responsibility. The citizenship to the United States really shouldn't be given or received lightly. I disagree completely with the previous speaker. Your loyalty must only be to the United States. However, you can, you really should, criticize your government when you believe that elected representatives are wrong, especially when it doesn't follow the founding documents, such as the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. With all the scandals that are going on in the federal government, the IRS picking winners and losers for tax exemption by political philosophy of the group, the murders in Benghazi is almost a year ago. There's no resolution to that. No one's punished. The media can't talk to the survivors, and now the NSA is spying on phone calls.
Bob, you were telling us you think that we're diluting citizenship. What do you mean by that?
Well, exactly what your previous speaker was saying. She figures she's already a citizen. We're just letting in way too many illegals. Our borders are porous. You can't have a sovereign nation. You can't. What does citizenship mean if you just dilute it and let anybody come in? There's 7 billion people in the world. How many, and I bet you there's 3 billion of those that would like to be in this country. How many of those are you going to bring in? You can't be the lifeboat to the world. We should be out demonstrating in the streets just over the stuff, the scandals in the federal government over the last three or four months, and demonstrating like they are in Egypt and demanding redress.
Bob West, he leads the group Grassroots of Yakima. They're working to increase awareness about illegal immigration. Chaya wrote to us on our Facebook page, "I'm an immigrant from Benin. Don't ask me how a Chinese Jewish kid ended up in Benin. I don't know myself. I got my citizenship on July 4th, 1976, when I was 11. I rode my bicycle from Astoria to New York City. I wasn't acknowledged for being one of the youngest kids being sworn in that day, nor for the ride. I was acknowledged for being related to my uncle." Well, one of the 487 people who became a U.S. citizen at yesterday's ceremony at Seattle Center was a Seattle woman in her mid-40s who's lived here most of her life. Her family came here from Vietnam in 1972, seeking refuge from the war. Her father was an American serviceman from Seattle. Her mother is Vietnamese. 4 decades later, the daughter they brought here finally felt she was ready to take the official step and become a U.S. citizen. She told KUOW's Liz Jones her story.
My name is Star Hung A Rush. That's my full name. Growing up and into adulthood, I just always felt that my national identity was my last little string that I had to my place of birth and my originating culture. I was just at the right age, I think, where some imprints were made when we were still in Saigon that didn't easily get eliminated. I remember my family. I remember trauma. It was an unpleasant leaving for everybody. For the first 4 years of my life, I grew up with my aunties and my grandmother in the city. Our whole family was raising us rather than just our parents. So there was that separation at the airport that I still remember that as a child, just crying, uncontrollably crying for the next 17, 18 hours on the airplane. And then after that, we come here. The stories that you hear, I mean, we were here in 1972, so the war was a still active engagement. I remember going to class and school, and, you know, how people talked about Vietnam wasn't always simple, you know, and it wasn't always consistent who was the enemy and who was not the enemy. And then in my home, there was always a tension between what was American and what was not American by my parents. So my mom was also, you know, that thing of resisting losing your children to this other culture, was always pointing out what was American and what was Vietnamese in behavior, in thoughts, in obedience, in discipline, in performance at school, in relationship to our faith and God, everything. So you grow up in that kind of environment, it leaves an impact. And I think that in my case, it left a lot of confusion. It's not that I wanted to resist being American, but it's a lot of work to also hang on to where you come from at the same time. I've always had a really challenging time just to straight up say I'm an American. I always felt that I didn't have that yet. I wasn't that. I had tried 3 other times. I actually got the applications, filled them out, wrote the check, left them on the dining room table, and they didn't quite get all the way through to turning them in. And the most recent time was in 1992. But now I'm older. I just got married in April to my partner, Jennifer. And we were married in the governor's mansion. We were related by cousins to Jay Inslee. So we kind of helped him in little ways during the campaign. I've always been active in civic issues and intellectually curious and a progressive. And I've done all of that involvement, but I've never cast a vote. So I want to vote. And that's a really big impetus now than it maybe wasn't when I was younger. Once I become a citizen, I'm looking forward to visiting family, traveling internationally for the first time and seeing other parts of the world firsthand. I haven't never been back to Vietnam, so that would have to be something on the fairly short to-do list. I'm proud to live here, I'm proud to be here, and then I'm proud finally to kind of come back around and close the loop and say that my national identity is also now in alignment with my cultural identity and being an American, Vietnamese American. Yeah.
Seattle resident Star Rush, who became a new U.S. citizen at Seattle Center yesterday. She told her story to KUOW's Liz Jones.